I met my mama in 1960 at the courthouse in Safford, Arizona. Now, how or why we three children wound up in the Arizona child care system is really not important to this story, but it does bear a little bit of background information, so I'll kind of share a little bit. I was born in Borger, Texas. Now, Borger, Texas is an oil field boom town. My daddy cowboyed on the Wittenberg Ranch, and he worked in the oil field, and he played music at the honky-tonks, too. You know, there's really two things that all children know instinctively. Whether or not they're safe, and whether or not they're loved. Before I even go a foot into this story, I want to make sure that you understand that my birth mama and my birth daddy loved us three children. We knew it instinctively. They just didn't seem to like each other. And life was stormy, to say the least. Now, she was a preacher's daughter and a twin, and beautiful. And she loved to hear him play music, too. Down to honky-tonks, and we kids went with her to hear him play. When the county found out about it, we wound up in a place somewhere off of Rock Creek Road, and for all of my life and memory, I've always called it the Rock Creek Orphanage. One of my strongest childhood memories is holding my two sisters by the hands through the chain-link fence, because it was boys on one side and girls on the other. Well, Grandma couldn't stand it, and she went to the judge and got the judge to release us into her care, and we went to live with her, and boy, that was great. Had my Aunt Judy and my Uncle Donald and my Uncle Lank to live with and play with, and he had all them horses and pigs and cows, and it was great fun. Good food to eat and everything. And one day we was out playing on the front porch and listening to the radio. Elvis is singing "Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog," and a big black car pulled up next to the curb, and out stepped our mama. "Hi, kids. Y'all want to go get ice cream?" We screamed, "Yeah," and we all run to pile in the car, me, myself, and Debbie just in diapers. Diane was right there with us, too, and we went for ice cream in Safford, Arizona, 749.6 miles away. Well, you live in a new state, so you have a new name. Your name is Bobby. And Diane, my middle sister, she became Linda. And Debbie, my baby sister, became Aileen. I didn't really care for being Bobby. Well, one day I was playing on the floor and with my little made-in-Japan friction car, zooming it there on the rug and letting it skittle across hardwood floor, when my mama kissed me goodbye and told me to be good. She went out with her sister and some other folks, and there was a party. And on the way home, there was a bulldozer parked on the side of the highway, and they run into it, and she was killed instantly. And we wound up in the Arizona child care system as the Newman children. That fellow that she was running with didn't really want no three kids, just wanted our mama. Now, I really don't know how long we was there. I've tried to think of it, and I can't. But to me, it seemed like a long time. One day, they got us all dressed up, and the social worker gave me 3 pennies for the gumball machine if we was good, and took us down to the biggest building I ever saw in my life. It was a county courthouse, and rushed us in there and rushed us right by the gumball machines and in to see the judge. In his bathrobe there, well, at least that's what kids think. And there was our real dad. And with him was this great, huge woman, 5'2", any way you want to measure, this way, that way, that way. Great, big, tall, round woman. And the judge explained to me, because I was the oldest, that our dad had found us a new mama, and that if we wanted, if I wanted, we could go and live with her. Well, I stuck my hand in my pockets, and I pulled out those 3 pennies, and I walked over to her, and I held them out in her direction. She had on a flowery dress, and she smelled like flowers, too. And I said, if I give you these 3 pennies, will you take care of them? Now, she had the good sense to know that I was asking a completely different question. And she said, yes, honey, I will. I turned around and told the judge we'd go, and we did. We went to Farmington, New Mexico, and to her wonderful mansion of a home. It was a 10 by 30-foot trailer house. It was my mom and my dad, my 2 sisters, my Great Dane dog Skip, and me. I slept with Skip. Now, she had been a widow woman and never even had any kids. Not that I was any trouble, but, well, there was that one homemade arrow through the air conditioning system. And the arrow through my sister's front bicycle tire while she was riding it. There was the underground fort in the front yard incident. Oh, and you can't forget the tightrope cable between 2 cottonwood trees about 18 foot off the ground incident. I was so proud. I was halfway between them walking on that cable, and I looked over in the trailer, and my mama was looking out the window. I waved big, knowing that Ed Sullivan fame was just a moment away, and my mama just reached up and closed the blinds. And then there was the Hands of Death karate manual. I would read it and then practice on my sisters in the front yard. And I learned an interesting thing about the Hands of Death karate manual. I got it out of the back of my Marvel comic book from down at the barbershop. I saved my $10 and ordered it. Oh, you just didn't get the book. You also got the 26 pressure pain points poster that for me. And but what I learned about that manual is that while you're not reading it, somebody else can. My sister knocked me smooth out. I remember waking up, laying there on the ground, drool running down the side of my mouth and my head throbbing, and I opened my eyes and I could hear voices and birds, and I looked up into the trailer house where my mama was standing in the window, and she just saw me blink and closed the blinds. Oh, I got to tell you, though, she was a good mama. She raised and reared us just as we needed. Dad worked in the oil field, 12 and 24, and sometimes he would have to pull a double, and he was gone a lot. Mama slung hash down at the Calico Kitchen truck stop all night long. Mrs. McKean, the widow lady next door, watched us while we slept, and in the morning, Mom would get us up and get us all off of some breakfast and clean clothes off to school, and then she'd try to lay down and sleep. And when we come home from school, she'd get up and fix us supper and help us with her homework or whatever we was doing, and she was a good mama. And in spite of all my antics, stuff like taking apart the mantle clock, and I did put it back together, just didn't run the same way no more. Backwards is exactly what it did. And we all grew up, got out, had families of our own. Now, don't let me mislead you. I wouldn't want you to think she was perfect. She's not. Nobody is. And you can't put 5 people and a Great Dane dog in a 10 by 30 foot space and have everybody be happy every day. I was living in Maine when I got the phone call. 1988. Dad had left, wasn't coming back. I prayed with Mom and talked with her. In the course of the conversation, she says to me, "I want you to know that I always loved you three children just like you were my very own." Well, we hung up the phone and I relived that conversation a couple of times. And then it dawned on me that the reason she said that was because she was afraid somehow that we would forsake her. So I sat down with pen and paper and I wrote her a letter. And I told her thank you for all the wonderful things she did. The fact that she married Dad for us kids to have a home. And then she gave us her home. And she cleaned for us and cooked for us. And slung hash at the Calico Kitchen all night long for us. And bought us shoes and jackets and all those things. And gave us advice when we moved out of home. And all the wonderful things that she did, every birthday present, every Christmas gift, everything I could think of, every little thing that I could think of, I wrote it in that letter. And then I bought me a card, and I got me three brand spanking new pennies, and I taped them inside that card, and I mailed it to her. Well, I don't mind telling you, I got a phone call, and she was mad. "I have you to know I got three pennies. I don't need you to give me three pennies. I got three pennies." "Oh, Mama, hold on a second. Hold on. That it was a memento. It was like a symbol, Mom. It was like an emblem of what you did for us. It was like I was just trying to mark what you did, and I wanted to remind you." But she was still mad when she hung up the phone, and I felt terrible. 3 years ago this week, I got the phone call. Mom was failing, come to Texas. I got on a plane and made my way, and my baby sister and her husband turned their 18-wheeler truck around in Seattle, Washington, and dropped their trailer and made for Abilene, Texas. We were all with her there at the hospital. Some of the family suggested that the three of us sing for her, and so we did. Kind of like we used to sing out on the front porch with Dad and Mom. We sang "In the Garden." Maybe you know it. "I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses." Well, I don't mind to tell you that the first verse of that song was a little rough. And as we finally found our places and got into the chorus, well, she slipped away. We just hugged her big old pillowy body. We had her funeral on Good Friday. And then you have to go through all of her things. Our family hadn't always had that much, and we were just kind of taking inventory first. And my sister suggested that I do her dresser and jewelry box, and so I started through on it. And as I opened up one drawer, I called to my sisters and I said, "Girls, looky here." And there in a drawer all by themselves, oh, I have them with me in my pocket at this moment, three pennies, 1957, 1957, and 1958. Now, in this day and age, I wouldn't expect anybody to believe me if I was to tell them that my mama kept those same three pennies that I gave her all those years ago. But then again, you'd have to know my three-penny mama to really understand. Now, don't you be sad. This is not a sad story. We buried her, and I came home, and I had those 3 pennies in my pocket. When I got back to my church, my friends all gathered around me to tell me that they loved me and expressed their sympathy. And one dear sweet lady, kind of a pillowy woman, said, don't you worry, honey, I'll be your mom. Now, you gotta love somebody to say something like that. I looked her right in the eye, and I loved her for it. And I said, no, thank you, ma'am. I got a mama. And I won't never, ever be an orphan again. And nobody's ever going to take notice or write a book or make a movie. But I sure wish you could have known my 3-penny mama.